If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20. He said, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. I want to preach just a little while, if God will be our help, on the power to prosper. Amen. The power to prosper. We're coming into this new year, 2025, and we're already over half a month into it, and we thank God for that. It's going by quicker and quicker. As you get older, the days go by faster. I was told that a long time ago by my granddad, and I was 15 and a half years old waiting to get my driver's license. I thought he's crazy. I said, "Papa, you know, 24 hours is 24 hours. But I woke up the day after I got my license, and praise God, and realized I was 35 years old. Amen. That's just how it seems to go. The days wax faster and faster the more age you get on you. Amen. You'll figure that out one day. Praise God for yourself. But I want to preach on this, the power to prosper, praise God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that He gives us. Amen. Or in other words, you might say today, our enablement to be a child of the King. Now we know that weakness brings defeat. Amen. If you want to win, praise God, be a winner in this world, you got to be strong. And our strength doesn't come in yourself. Yourself will let you down. Yourself will deceive you. Yourself will leave you stranded on the side of the road. Amen? You say, "Well, preacher, I've got people and I've got friends." Yeah, you do. But praise God, you'll look around one day and they won't be there. There'll be a time that you'll need somebody, something to help you to get through. Praise God. And we'll need the strength and the power of an almighty God to be successful in this world. You say, "Preacher, you mean to have wealth and a yacht and a two-car garage with a Maserati on both sides?" No, I'm talking about getting through for the glory of God, lifting up His name as we go along this journey called life, because that's the most important thing that you and I can do. The most important thing that we can do is lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because He said if we lift Him up, He'll draw all men unto Him. And we need that drawing together. See, we get the, praise God, when God's people all come together in one mind, one accord, we're a force to be reckoned with. Amen, praise God. So weakness brings defeat, but say power, praise God, it brings prosperity. And that's what we're looking for, is prosperity. Now I want you to just look for just a minute with me, praise God, if you will. Paul's talking to the people of Ephesians, and he's talking to of Ephesus, and he's talking to them, and he's kind of directing them in the direction that had them go. Verse number 7, he says he said, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power." So Paul's saying, he said, the power is effective. He said, the power that I have from God, he said, it's an effective power. As we was talking about in Sunday school, they took Paul, they stoned him, took him outside the city, left him for dead. Praise God, Barnabas run, get help, come back. They were standing around Paul. Paul got up, he said, "What's going on?" Then they said, "We thought you was dead, praise God." He said, "Yeah." He said, I felt like I was dead, but he got up, praise God. He went back into the city. He said he spent the day there, probably preaching the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. The next day, praise God, he got up and he left and he pressed on for the cause of Christ. He said, "I've got an effect." He said, "The power that's effective is in my life." Not only is power effective, verse number 8 said, it's a revealing of riches. Praise God. He said, "Unto me, who am a least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Amen. So Paul's telling us here that the revealing of the riches that we have in Christ Jesus is out of this world. He said it's uncomprehendable what Jesus Christ Himself has done for us, what He offers for us. See, we got to remember this morning, Jesus died and He rose from the dead. He ascended up to heaven to set the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. Praise God. And He's partaker of, and just as sure as He's sitting there, Father, we're partakers with Him in that. If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, you're partakers with Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. Not will be someday. You are today. Amen. Somebody ought to just jump up and say, glory, hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad it's that way. God designed it to be that way, that me and you get in, praise God, and we become partakers with Christ. Amen. Praise God. The revealing of the riches. Amen. And then he says how it's all pulled together, how it all ties together. Or you might say, by whom in verse number 9. He's to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who create all things by Jesus Christ. That's how this thing's all brought together. It's all brought together. By whom? By Jesus Christ. He brings it together. He ties it together for us, that we can be together in it for His glory. Praise God. What a blessing. Verse number 10, he says, the things that's revealed to the church and in the wisdom of God. He said, that's the intent, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Now watch this. The manifold wisdom of God. Now what does that mean? The manifold wisdom of God. It's so big. It's like taking a rainbow. You ever see a rainbow? My goodness, the magnificence of a rainbow. Have you ever tried to depict the colors in it and try to figure out which color of the rainbow is the most significant? Amen? And as you're trying to, praise God, figure out the magnificence of that rainbow, one color, praise God, is just, it seems like another one was superseded and another, praise God, where you can't determine the greatness and you can't determine the magnitude of the beauty. That's what the manifold wisdom of God. He said, it's inexhaustible. The wisdom of God, the magnificent God, because He is God. And Paul said that He manifests His wisdom to us, but He manifested to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who come down to this world, praise God. Why did He do that? He gives us a purpose in verse number 11. Verse number 11 said, according to the gender, the eternal purpose. Not a short-lived purpose, but an eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see, praise God, the purpose of Christ to manifest Himself to you and me. But then, now notice in verse number 12, He talks about confidence. Church today, listen to me. We should have confidence in what I've just shared with you. If you have confidence in what I've just shared with you, you have the confidence to be a child of God. To be a born-again Christian, praise God, on the right pursuit of happiness and prosperity with the power of God in your life this morning. Amen. That's a power that God, that the devil can't defeat. That God will manifest in you and through you, praise the Lord. That's what's needed today. So we see the confidence, praise God. He said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So in other words, He gives us confidence. That's confident assurance. Assurance in our faith, assurance who's offering this to us. It's not just some fly-by-night organization, praise God, but it's God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access into a confidence, praise God, that's out of this world. Amen. An access plan. An access to power. An access to power that's found in Jesus Christ. He says, our Lord. That's where the power is. Amen. You want to hook into some power today? They want us to convert all of our vehicles to electric. And that sounds like a really good plan. Amen. But where are you going to hook them up at? Said, well, we'll just hook them up to electric stations and then we can do away with fossil fuel. Amen. Where are you going to get the electricity for the electrical stations? Amen. These people, they're crippled too high for crutches. Amen. God's gave us a sustainable resource. Praise God. He gives us the wisdom to use it. The manifest wisdom of God is there for us if we'll just utilize it. Amen. What we got to do, sis, we just got to pray and seek God's face and say, Lord, help us to be wise about what You give us and use it in a way, praise God, that'll bring You glory. Amen. Ain't it amazing how he just keeps putting it there? We dig it up, we use it, and God just keeps putting it there. Just like the sun keeps shining. And then I told somebody the other day, that I've watched and watched, see that fuel truck pull up out of the sun and go to charging her back up, filling her back up. I've never seen it happen. But God Almighty does it, praise God, because that's what He does. Praise His name. We have that confidence in Him. And we have that access, praise God, in Him. Access, praise God, to power. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have access to our Heavenly Father. Man. Praise God. What Paul tells here, he said, we don't need no priest, hello. We don't need some pretender to tell us that they've got a connection with our Father, that they can get in, they can go before us. Let me tell you, that's messed up. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We don't need that. It's a, hey, listen, if I pull up to my Father's house, amen. Hello. If I pull up the door of my Father's house and there's somebody standing guard, I'm going to say, excuse me, sir. I'm going to go in here and see my Father because this is my Father's house. And he said, no, I can't let you in. Now, if you have a message, I'll gladly go into your Father and I'll tell him what's on your mind. I'm going to say, wait a minute, Jackson. This is my Father's house and my Father loves me. Glory. I feel something down my soul. And I love my Father. And I'm going to go in and talk to my Father. He said, no, wait a minute. He said, I'm the only way that you can get in. I'm the only one that can take a message. I'm the only one that can get a sincere message to your Father. I'm going to say, buddy, you better get out of my way. Me and my Father have a right relationship. I love Him. He loves me, and I'm going in. Amen. Praise God. That's why He said with boldness, we have access. Amen. I don't have to go to somebody. I don't have to ask you to pray for me. I may ask you to pray with me, but I don't need you to pray for me. Are you hearing me? Young people, listen to me. You need to get in a place, in a condition, in a habit of praying for yourself. Don't count on mama and daddy, mama and papa to pray for you. You need to get a right relationship with your Heavenly Father so you can come boldly before the throne of grace. Because Paul said we have access. We don't need some priest. You don't need some preacher, praise God. I'll pray with you, but I can't pray for you. He said we need to have a confident assurance that we can talk to our Heavenly Father. We can go boldly before the throne of grace to receive that help that we need. Paul, praise God, he says, glory, hallelujah. The power that we have is right there to be had if we'll just look for it. Amen. And then I can just see Paul in my mind. I know I've got a vivid imagination. But as I look upon line, precept upon precept, I got to seeing this. You see, I thought, you know, I can see Paul as he's here putting this down. He's preaching this. He's dictating this. He's giving us this magnificent statement here. But then he comes to verse 13. He kind of like he comes to himself. He said, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Peter comes to a full assurance of the situation that he's in. See, Paul is bound up with chains. Amen. And the Bible teaches that there's a change of guard, and the guard comes in and the guard is changed. And there's a guard that's chained to Paul 24/7. Amen. And Paul's a speaking these things, and he's maybe dictated to his Emmaus or his secretary, which is probably Dr. Luke. Because going out, hey, listen, I got to think about that. There's enough preaching to do on Dr. Luke. Praise God. You could preach on the grace of God and Dr. Luke throughout the ages. He was Paul's faithful physician, praise God. Paul had feelings of infirmity, and Dr. Luke stayed there with him. Praise God, he was a medical doctor, and he stayed with Paul all the steps of the way. Amen. Amen. Only a few times do you see that Dr. Luke wasn't there where Paul was. Praise God. So you see Paul's, and he realizes the intensity of his situation. Maybe he's talking about that cough of assurance and that guard kind of goes, jerks those chains. That was a binding old Paul. Says, yeah, right. Or maybe he's dictating to this Omaeus, and the secretary and the guard begins to laugh and to scoff at what Paul's a saying. Amen. Paul comes back to realization, comes back to the real world. Amen. And he begins to tell the folks, he said, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation. He said, hey, listen, just because I'm in these chains, he said, don't you think for a minute that I'm bound down. Praise God, I'm just as free as I've ever been. Praise God, in my Lord Jesus Christ, I'm freer than I've ever been. He said, hey, just because of my chains, don't you faint in your faith at my tribulations. Amen. Yeah. And he said, what you should do, said, glory in the tribulations. Amen. Look what Paul said. Look, turn back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Well, verse number 6, he said, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Paul got a little peek into heaven. Amen. The Lord let him, he raised him up and he got him just a little peek into glory. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should become exalted above measure. And for these things I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes when you feel, praise God, forsaken, sometimes when the infirmities of this world is upon you, glory out of just glory in God. Amen. Listen, they can't get too bad. Praise God, because one day, in a little while, we'll be in the presence of our Savior. We'll be with Him forever. We'll wave goodbye to this old world. We'll wave goodbye to those infirmities thereof. And we'll go home to be with Jesus. Praise His holy name. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. Now watch this. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. He said, when I'm at my weakest state, praise God. He said, I put my trust in the Lord, and the strength is there to overcome my weakness, that prevailing weakness that I had. Praise His holy name. You say, preacher, how is that? How could that happen? Because the Bible tells us that the battle is the Lord's. Go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Remember the little shepherd boy named David? He's keeping his father's flock. Amen. He'd been anointed by Samuel to be a prophet in Saul's place. He's keeping his flock. His father calls him away from the sheep, and he says, David said, here, take his victuals, take his food and stuff. He said, go down to the battle where the God's people have set him up in array. He said, you go down to the battle, you take these and see what's going on and bring word to me. So David goes down there, of course, and his brothers is in the battle, and they're set up in array, but there's a man that's contending against the people of God. Amen. I want to say there's always going to be somebody or something that's contending against the people of God. Hello. Amen. If it ain't some other man, it'll be you. Your old flesh will rise up. But he goes down to see what's going on. And they say that he'd come down. That their brother's anger was kindled against him. Verse 28, against David. And they said, why comest down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness in the heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. What did David say? And David said, what have I now done? Then he says this. Now listen. He said, is there not a cause? Amen? Is there not? Oh, we ought to ask ourselves today, praise God. That's a whole other message. He said, we ought to ask, is there not a cause? Because people are dying and going to hell every day, lost without God. There's a cause. Amen? So David begins to speak to him. And then he goes and he stands before this mighty giant called Goliath. Amen? Verse number 42, it said, when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And now King Saul had done told David, said, you can't go up against this man. Said, you're just a youth, and he's been a warrior from his youth up. Goliath is a man that's over 9 foot tall, had 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot. It's a peculiar character. Amen. And he said, you can't go up against him. David said, hey, listen, I went up against the lion. And said, I went up against a bear that come to take my father's sheep. He said, and I slew him with my bare hands. And he said, if you'll let me, he said, I'll go, glory, hallelujah. He said, I'll go out there and do the same thing to this old uncircumcised Philistine. Amen. How dare he mock my God? Amen. So they loaded David up. He said, how did David have that kind of courage? He had that confidence, praise God. He had that confidence down in his heart. I pray. Hey, you know why? Because David was uncontaminated with unbelief. The contamination of unbelief was nowhere near him. And he goes before this giant. Amen. He said in verse 43, he said, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest with me with staffs? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, Dagon, Ashtaroth. He said, my gods are bigger than your gods, and they're going to destroy you right here today. Amen. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Trying to scare him. David's just a little ruddy boy, remember? Just a young man. His old Philistine said, oh, well, I'll just scare this old boy. He'll throw down his sling and run. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now watch this, verse 46. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Amen. The battle today, youngest, is the Lord's. It's not ours to fight. The power we have to prosper is in the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Glory in our tribulation, the things we endure in this world. Paul would say, hey, listen. He'd go and he'd say, listen, remember, it's all about the love of God. How great love God has for you and I. He said, that's what it's about. That's what we need to remember. In Ephesians 3 and verse 16, he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded, watch this, in love. He said, we'll love each other because Christ loves us. He said, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, all the measurements of God's love. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, that you might be filled to full. Amen. Paul was discouraged, praise God. They thought they might be discouraged by his chains. Amen. But he says, listen, just remember the love that God has for you and me. It ain't about these changes. It ain't about the obstacles that we face. It ain't about the trials and tribulations. But it's about the love that God has for us. We'll go through a lot of stuff in this world. Heartaches and aches and pains and defeat. Praise God, in this old physical being. But praise God, I want to say we're winners, praise God, in Lord Jesus Christ, because we have the power to prosper as a child of God right day to right now today. Amen. Today. And he said it's the love of God that gives us the power to prosper right now. Amen. Today. Not tomorrow. He said it's that love of God. Remember the story I told you about D.L. Moody? He was overseas and he was preaching. There was a young man that come to the meetings. He was just fascinated with D.L. Moody and his preaching. And he come to D.L. Moody one day and he said, sir, he said, if I ever make it to America, I said, I want to preach for you. D.L. Moody just kind of blowed him off. Brother Jeff, he said, well, okay. So yeah, if you ever make it to Chicago, he said, just come on and said, we'll let you preach. Never figuring this little old fellow would show up. Amen. Never in a million figured he'd cross the big waters and come to Chicago. Remember, Chicago used to be a powerhouse for God. Come on. You said, really, preacher? It's full of Satan and the devil now. Yes, it is. When men forget God, when we choose to forget God, the devil takes his place. Amen. When D.L. Moody was there preaching, praise God, the power of God was in Chicago. Mighty revivals, praise God, broke out. D.L. Moody went back home. He was there in Chicago. One day there was a knock at the door. Amen. D.L. Moody said he went and opened the door and there was a little ruddy fella sitting there. He said, remember me, Mr. Moody? Henry Morehouse? Kind of looks at him funny. He said, yeah, you told me when I got here you'd let me preach. You know, Moody said, oh my. Guys, there's the deacons up. He says, fellas, listen. I did make this little old fella promise. You know, we'll let him take off in the mornings at, you know, 30 minutes. What can he hurt? What can he mess up in 30 minutes? We'll let him preach, and when he gets done, I'll get up and I'll fix whatever he messes up, and we'll be good. And they said, well, you're the pastor. That's what you think. I said, oh, Brother Henry Morehouse, he got up that first morning, praise God, and he said, open your Bible to John 3:16. And said, oh, Henry Morehouse. And said, he began to preach on the love of God. And said, that place by the altars filled up. He said, Brother Moody confessed later that he was touched more than he had ever touched by the love of God. He had never thought of it on this fashion when the little old boy got done. Amen. With tears set down on the pew. They went to him after church. They said, sir, could you preach again? Could you do another service? So that young man preached for a solid week. Brother Bill, every time he got up, he said, turn to John 3:16. And he preached on the love of God for a solid week. And they said, Brother Morehouse, come up to last night. He said, I've preached on the love. He said, I've tried to tell you about the love of God all week. I've tried to express how much God loves you all week. And tonight I'd like to tell you, praise God, that God loves you. He said, if I could borrow from the Word of God, I would take Jacob's ladder and I would climb that serene ladder of God up into the portals of glory with you this evening. I'd march you into the street, those celestial streets of gold. Amen. And through the throne room of God Almighty. Come on. And he said, I'd seek out Gabriel. He said, I'd look for that hurling angel, Gabriel. And when I found Gabriel, I'd say, Gabriel, sir, I have a question for you. If you just answer me this one thing, so I know you're an angel, you're in the presence of God, you're constantly in the presence of God, you're in the mind of God. Gabriel, would you just answer me one question? He said, this is my question. He said, how much does God love the world. Said Gabriel, said Henry Morehouse, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Gabriel didn't defer from the Word of God because it's absolute truth. The power to prosper in 2025 is to prosper in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. What He did for us on Calvary, where God gave His only begotten Son, heralded by angels to you and me, so that through Him we might be set free. What about you this morning? Amen. What about you?